Well, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike. And this is yours truly, Michael Wolfeld, staff naturopath with the Purium Health Products. And one thing I can tell you is in just a few months, not very long at all, in a few months, Purium, PHP, will celebrate its 10th birthday. Believe it or not, we're going to be 10 years old in just a few months. So that's pretty exciting. And we took off slow, but we're growing fast. Thanks to all of you fine people who are spreading the word and helping to make one person at a time healthier, because that's really what the goal is. And certainly that's what our calls are always about. We don't focus on money. We focus on health. And there's nothing wrong with money either. But without health, nothing else really matters, let's face it. So we have an interesting topic tonight. And for those of you who didn't see the little blurb, it's titled, How to Make Purium's Superfoods More Powerful, Part 1. The reason it says Part 1, because in 2 weeks we'll have Part 2. So, to get started, I would like to give you some information that I think you'll find interesting. And I hope this is interesting to the point not just that it's interesting, but that you'll take it to heart, pardon the pun, and put some of this into practice. It's not about your heart, it's about your liver. And livers don't get a lot of attention, but without a liver, you are a dead duck. So livers do a lot of things for us. One of its major functions, it stores iron, and it also stores a lot of vitamins and many other minerals. So in other words, the liver has a lot of ability to keep us supplied with valuable nutrients that we may or may not be getting on a daily basis, you know, for one reason or another, whether it be stress because we're not absorbing them or we just don't have them in our diet that day or whatever. And so that's a big factor. The second thing that the liver does is it makes bile. And bile actually helps us digest our food. And without bile, you would probably not digest too much at all. Now, the third thing, which I think many people are aware of, is the liver detoxifies poisonous chemicals that we give it. That includes alcohol, beer, wine, drugs prescribed over-the-counter, as well as illegal substances. And so this little blurb says, without me, your bad habits would kill you. And that's the part that I really hope people will take to heart. But, you know, we tend to just think of our body and our system as something that, gosh, you know, we just take it for granted. And we don't really give it a lot of consideration. But it's helpful once in a while to actually stop and sort of think about what the different parts of your body do. So that when you consider having two or three beers, or you catch yourself getting into a point where you're feeling very stressed or very angry or something like that, you realize that, okay, this activity has a direct impact on what's going on inside my body. And so it's important to just sort of have this kind of information. Now, another function of the liver, which is very important, it actually stores energy. It's like a battery. And it can store carbohydrates, glucose, and fat, actually until we need it. Now, without this function, our sugar level in our blood could really drop dramatically, and we could actually go into a coma. Now, of course, this does not mean you should go out and eat more sugar, because the body doesn't want sugar. The body wants food complex carbohydrates that it then processes to get the type of sugar it wants. The next function is the liver makes blood. And it was making blood even before you were born. Okay, so in other words, we wouldn't even be here without the liver because, hey, without blood, we got problems. Now, believe it or not, the liver can also manufacture new proteins and amino acids that your body needs to actually stay healthy and even grow. So it often produces and can produce proteins that we don't normally take in. The liver also obviously removes poisons from air, you know, exhaust smoke, chemicals we breathe, and so on and so forth. So obviously, you know, not putting our mouth up to the exhaust pipe of a car is a good idea. Another thing that the liver does is it actually produces the clotting factor so that when you cut yourself, you don't bleed to death. And of course, there are people that are hemophiliacs, and they do not have this clotting factor, which means their liver is malfunctioning. So the liver is responsible for this. The liver also helps to defend us against germs that are going on all the time within our body. And this includes cold germs, flu bugs, you know, other germs. And the liver actually knocks them out, or certainly weakens them. And so without this function, we would be a lot sicker than we are. So obviously, you know, we want to be more judicious about exposing our liver to things that it doesn't need. One thing that's really good to avoid are aerosol sprays. Aerosol sprays put a lot of stress on the liver. And I know they're helpful. You know, people use them for bugs, for mildew, you know, for paint. But you really have to be careful. This stuff gets into your lungs and you don't even know. Another thing is what you put on your skin. Now, obviously, things like insecticides that you're spraying on trees and things like this, that's pretty obvious. But a lot of people don't realize that they're putting chemicals on their skin. And the skin is the biggest organ of the body. And so all this stuff gets absorbed, which obviously is not what we want. And so if you have to do something that you're dealing with really toxic stuff, wear protective gloves and clothing. And that can be really, really helpful. So I hope that this has been, like I said, not only informational, but also that you're going to actually apply some of this so that, you know, it's going to help you. Okay, now we're going to get on to the actual subject of tonight, which I think you'll find interesting. At least I hope you do. It certainly, it fascinated me the more I got into this. And this has been motivated really by many callers, especially people doing our 10-day transformational cleanse. And there have been groups of people who have done it together, which I think is a great idea because it's great support. And one thing that has come up many times is in groups of people where 5 or 6 people are doing it, some people have easier times, some people have harder times, some people have better results, so on and so forth. And one thing that I have discovered in talking to especially the people who have been the most successful is they share in one common overall denominator, which is sort of surprising. I mean, it's obvious, but we don't think about it. And that is gratitude, that they're actually grateful that they have the ability to detoxify themselves. Now, it may or may not surprise you, but studies were actually conducted by sociologists and psychologists. And I think this is really interesting. That they studied the digestive processes of different people. And they did this, I guess, over 100 times with, you know, different people. And what they were trying to determine is the effect that gratitude has on the digestive system. And they found out that people who actually said a blessing for what they were going to consume actually have increased digestive activity. They also had less constriction of blood vessels that were feeding the stomach. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, I realize that some people may find this, you know, a little difficult, or they don't, you know, they don't like the idea. And I'm not saying you have to necessarily give thanks to a being or a god. You can thank the food itself. I mean, whatever. But I'll tell you an interesting, this is a true story. And it's quite amazing. There was a, this is about 20 years ago, and I believe this was in South America somewhere. And it was at a jail. And they had a prisoner who was as difficult to deal with as you could possibly find. He was just pure nasty. And one of the things that they had to deal with people like this is they had a solitary type of cell, and it was basically a pit that was about 25 feet deep with straight walls, and the only way you got in and out of this thing is with a ladder. And so, or a rope, you know, they would lower you down into this. And so this guy spent a lot of time in this place because every time he got out, he would do something else highly obnoxious or cause a lot of trouble, and they'd throw him back in this place and they'd just make him stay there. And of course, you know, he didn't care for it because it had cockroaches and rats and things like that. And so he spent most of his time swearing and cussing and complaining. Well, about the fourth or fifth time that he found himself in this place, someone took pity on this poor fool, and they actually threw him a brochure. And the brochure, this was in Spanish, basically said to be grateful for everything that you have. And of course that made him madder than the Dickens. You know, he stomped on it and said, this is ridiculous, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, after a few days, he kept staring at that stupid brochure, and he said, well, gosh, you know, what do I have to lose? So he decided to start thanking his environment. And he thanked the cockroaches, he thanked the rats, he thanked the really meager food that was sent down to him that he started to actually enjoy. And the more he did this, what he discovered was he wasn't angry anymore. And so he kept doing it. Well, the long and the short of the story is after about 6 months' time, now he did not stay in there for 6 months, but after 6 months, he had changed so dramatically just from giving thanks, being grateful, that he was actually turned into a chaplain, and he worked at this prison helping other prisoners. That is the power of gratitude. So don't ever underestimate it. And so, to give you a little of a science of where I'm coming from with this, and it really does make sense, back in, I believe, 1940, a very well-known physicist at the time, who was British, who had also known Einstein and was familiar with his work on relativity and so on and so forth, his comment was that the universe is starting to look more like a giant thought than material substance. Now just think about what that means. He said that in 1940. He was Sir, I can't remember his name, I don't have it in front of me. But anyhow, anyone who wants to know, I can tell you where to find it, if you call me. But anyhow, 1940, a physicist said that the universe was starting to look more like a thought than it was a solid substance. Now, we have talked about this in the past, that basically thoughts are things and thoughts are powerful. And I'll remind you of the story that I think I've shared this before, but to me it's very significant, and it happened to me 30 some odd years ago. But when I was in college, I was taking a full load, and I was working about 25 hours a week to make extra money. So, you know, I had a full schedule. And I remember it was a Friday afternoon, and it had been a long week. And I come home, and I was just beat. Couldn't move. Collapsed onto the sofa, had taken my shoes off, and was just lolling there, feeling actually rather peaceful because I knew I didn't have to go anywhere or do anything. I felt a little hungry, but I said, well, no, I'm going to rest. That was more important at that time. And after about 15 minutes of this lying there, sort of, you know, just zoning out, there was a loud knock on the door, and the door opened, and it was my neighbor, who I often, you know, saw. We were friends. And she announced, she said, I have 2 tickets to see Simon and Garfunkel in concert tonight in 3 hours. Do you want to go with me? Because her sister was going to go, and her sister couldn't make it. And trust me, friends, I went from being dead tired to being super energetic. I mean, I was raring to go. And so we stopped and had a bite to eat. But it was on me, since she was about the tickets, and they were like 40 bucks a piece, I think, even back then. And so, you know, we went to eat and then went to see Simon and Garfunkel. And it was a lovely evening. Got back, I think it was probably close to midnight. And I think we even sat around and talked for about 15 minutes. And, you know, I went to bed and slept very well. Woke up probably around 8:30 or so. So, you know, I didn't oversleep too much. I mean, got 8 hours sleep. But it was like 2 or 3 days later that all of a sudden it hit me like, you know, a brick flying into my face. And I thought, and I said, wait a second. This is really interesting, because I hadn't really processed it. I hadn't thought about it. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was dead tired. Couldn't hardly move. Barely got the key in the door to unlock the door. I mean, I was really beat. And in less than 25 minutes, only taking a 10-minute nap, and I wasn't even napping, I was sort of lolling because it just felt good, I was able to jump up, had full energy, and went, had a grand old time, and didn't go to sleep until after midnight. And then woke up at 8:30 in the morning and felt refreshed. Now, it wasn't the food. You know, I mean, what was it? It was thought. That's all it was. It was just thought. And the more you come to terms with the power of your thoughts, the more control over your life that you will have. It is that amazing. Now, I really, you know, repeat this again. I mean, this is truly amazing when you think about what this can give you. Phenomenal. It costs nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so when I say that I have talked to people who have had a great experience with the cleanse or taking this product or that product or whatever, one of the common denominators is they have been very grateful. They have really been happy and satisfied that they have the opportunity to do this kind of thing. And that applies to just about anything. So this is science, folks. This isn't New Age nonsense. This is from the 1940s. Physics saying this. That the universe is starting to look like one big thought. Now you might say, okay, if this is the case, why do we bother eating? Why are we taking super supplements? You know, superfoods. Why do we bother doing a cleanse? Well, if you really mastered your mind, I mean really mastered it, you could do what other people have done. And there are people who have not eaten for a long time, and they do fine. But for most of us, I include myself, you know, our minds aren't that powerful. We haven't developed, I mean, they are that powerful, but we have not utilized the power. It's been said that the average person only uses less than 10% of their mental ability. Less than 10%, and the average is 5. That's pretty poor, considering the potential we have. So in other words, we've got 90% that we're not using. So keep in mind, folks, the next time someone calls you a half-wit, they are paying you a huge compliment because they're saying you're using half your brain, and very few of us use half our brain. Somebody uses half their brain is considered more than a genius. Okay, so this is why this is so important. And on the same note, keep in mind that when you are doing the opposite, when you're complaining, when you're feeling or speaking negatively, you know, when you're reacting because somebody did something you didn't like, keep in mind that you, at that very moment, are doing something that is destructive to your own well-being. Your own physical body suffers when you do that. So for all of you folks, and I know a lot of you people, you know, have done and are doing the cleanse, keep this kind of thing in mind because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I there's no way I can do 600 calories a day. You know, I need more to eat. Well, the only reason you think you need more to eat is because it's a habit. And habits are functions of thought. Now, what happens, though, with a habit is we create a very, very strong groove. Yeah, you remember the old 78 and 33 records from, you know, I guess, actually the 78s, I guess, are coming back. But, you know, in other words, the record has grooves and the needle goes around the groove. And of course, if the record gets scratched, then every time that needle hits that scratch, you get an unpleasant noise. Well, our brain operates the same way. Every time we repeat an action, whether it be good for us or bad for us, we are making a groove deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, these are not cast into cement. These are flexible, and they can be changed. But the deeper the groove of the habit, the more willpower and the more concentrated effort must be put into it. So, you know, if you have a habit of smoking or drinking or, you know, doing anything to excess, keep in mind that is just simply a groove that has gotten deeper than you would like. And it does take some effort to turn that around. But once you've turned it around, it's like it was never there anymore. That's the thing that's really phenomenal. Now, this also applies to people who want to lose weight. And we've had many people who have done the cleanse, and they say to me, I want to do this cleanse because I want to clean out. I don't want to lose weight. In fact, I need to gain a little bit of weight, but I think I really need to clean out. And of course, I give them the old sales pitch about, You don't have to lose weight if you really put it into your mind that what your goal is to clean out and not lose weight. And people succeed. I say, you got to mean business, though. And it's the same way if you want to lose weight. It's actually helpful to tell your body how much you want to lose. Now, if you are really strong-minded and you have powerful concentration, you could tell your body to lose 25 pounds and you could consider and continue eating anything you want. That doesn't work for most of us. Most of us have to follow the law. And the law says, what goes in, going to come out. And so if we're eating empty calories, it's going to get stored as fat. So that's why it's important to understand what is actually, you know, really going on. It's very, very important. So, just to recap, obviously, the more effort we can put into understanding how powerful thoughts are, the more we're going to be conscious of the kind of thoughts that we entertain on a regular basis. Gratitude is good for us. Whether you're grateful to somebody that cooks something for you, or to a god, or to the food, or to nature, it doesn't seem to matter. It matters to you, it matters to me, but it's the idea that gratitude helps digestion and helps everything work better. Gratitude actually increases immune function. Gratitude has been shown to increase liver output of bile and digestive enzymes from the pancreas. It's amazing, absolutely amazing what we have to work with, and we don't take advantage of it. Excuse me. And this is very, very important. So important that I'm glad so many of you are listening. And I hope that you'll share this with other people who aren't necessarily listening tonight, because it really is incredibly valuable information. And I'm glad I stumbled on it again, because, you know, I had forgotten about it. And I'm certainly practicing as much as I can. Now, I want to remind everyone before we finish that as of August the 4th, which is a Sunday. Actually, forget, it'll actually be, say, the 4th. From the 4th until the 15th, which is almost 2 weeks, I am participating in a spiritual convocation, a church convocation. And it's the one time of the year I do not check my messages. I do not check email. I turn everything off. And I do apologize that it's the way it is, you know, because everyone needs at least some time to just disconnect. And this is when I do it. And it's very worthwhile. And I promise you that I'll be much more valuable to you after the 15th of August. But I will be back with you the next call will be on the 14th, which I will be actually doing. I will be doing that call on Wednesday the 14th, although I think it's going to be recorded. I think, yeah, I'm probably going to record it ahead of time. So it's been a pleasure being with you. I look forward to hearing from you. Let me know what you think of this particular subject we have. If you have any subjects you would like discussed, let me know. What I try and do is keep lists of the most common questions that come up, and that's how I determine what I'm going to talk about, so that I cover something that I think will be valuable for a lot of people. So once again, friends, it's been a pleasure being with you. Take good care. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. And remember, I will be gone for about 15 days. And but up until then, you're welcome to call me and email me, and I will certainly be glad to be of whatever service I can. So take good care. God bless, be happy, and bye for now.